Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I suspect the old adage that April showers bring May flowers has some meaning to people today. And I appreciate everyone who is here in the church sanctuary for going out into the rain and not staying at home and either joining us on Zoom or watching the Sunday morning talk shows. I thank all of you who are on Zoom, but if you were to stay home and watch Sunday morning talk shows, that's your loss. I think Scripture's got a lot more to say to us than a bunch of talking heads yelling at one another. But think about this trip that's described in Scripture today. Now, most of you have no idea as to where Emmaus is or how far it is from Jerusalem, but it's about 7 miles away. So it's a walk that anybody could do. It's essentially the distance from downtown Lebanon to downtown Hanover. And you could walk that distance. And back then, of course, you didn't have to deal with cars on the road or buses zipping by or traffic on 120. But today you don't have to deal with brigands and uneasy or uneven road conditions. But the fact is you could make the journey from here to there. And we hear about these two disciples, these followers of Jesus, who are walking from one place to another, and we get the sense that they are really depressed. Now, we know that Scripture is trying to pack a lot into a short space. But with the stories of the resurrection, those events are actually given a lot of space. And liturgically, they're given a lot more than that. So Easter took place a couple of weeks ago, but this story took place the day after Easter. So we imagine, and I think justifiably so, that these followers of Jesus are pretty depressed. They had placed all of their hopes in Jesus and the message that he preached to them. They had given up their jobs. They had risked their reputations. They'd alienated their family members. For what? For a guru who got nailed to a cross. That was it. Understandably so, they were depressed. And then this guy shows up and joins them. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I'm a little bit leery when strangers start talking to me on the street. And when I'm on an airplane, I don't like when the person in the seat next to me starts talking to me. Yeah, and it's nice to make new friends, but if I'm reading, I don't want you to start talking to me. And yet, this stranger starts talking. And he asks the disciples, what's going on? And this is where we're let down a bit by the Gospels, because they don't give us the full atmosphere of the story. They don't use adjectives. We are not given descriptions. We don't know what the weather was like that day. But their response is palpable. Haven't you heard about what happened in Jerusalem? Everybody's talking about it. And Jesus' response, of course they don't know it's Jesus at this point, is to say, no, I don't know. And then they offer these words, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who's a prophet, mighty in deed, and word before God and all the people, which we believe is an early confession of the church. How our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. So that was a formula of faith. Who Jesus is, what Jesus meant, what they hoped that Jesus would achieve for them. And this stranger doesn't know what they're talking about. And yet something seems to be stirred in their hearts. And we read later on that their hearts were moved when he opened the scriptures to them. And perhaps it was also that Near Eastern impulse to offer hospitality to strangers, but it seems to be towards the end of the day, and they ask Jesus to stay with them overnight. And so Jesus accepts. And Jesus sits down at a table and breaks the bread and blesses it. And hopefully those words sounded familiar to you, because we use those words in the communion liturgy every month. And their eyes were opened, and they saw Jesus. And then Jesus disappeared. Now, I'm going to confess that we never talked about this in any of the classes I took at Divinity School. I could have taken a course on Luke. I had other courses I wanted to take at that time. But I don't know why Jesus just disappeared at that moment. Maybe the story from John, you remember we did Doubting Thomas last week, is true. And Jesus had just had enough of people wanting to poke his hands and his sides. We don't know. But, Jesus is clearly doing something here. And the church, as I've mentioned before, is trying to reenact through the liturgy and the lectionary the happenings of Scripture. And we do this every year. And we're in a liminal period now. We're in the Easter season, which goes until Pentecost. We know that the Holy Spirit is going to be given to the church. John tells the story differently. John doesn't have the big Pentecost event the way Luke does in the book of Acts. Instead, we heard about the Holy Spirit being given last week. But clearly, Jesus is preparing the disciples for something big. What is that something big? Well, there's the community that's so important in the Gospels, and particularly in Luke. The disciples are told over and over again that you need to rely on your friends and your family. Don't go it alone. And here Jesus appears to two people and then to a larger group. And that is something we need to hold on to. The other message is that we need to pay attention. The person you might ignore or dismiss might well be an angel. And this isn't going to be some promo for a TV show like, what was that called back then? Touched by an Angel. But God and the Holy Spirit works through people around us. And we don't know who is bearing God's word to us. Yes, we read it in Scripture. But we also see that love and grace in action through people in the church. And my hope is that you have met people like that, and you can recall experiences like that from your past. But all of that is really true. All of that is a really big deal. So we talk about the road to Emmaus in the church, and the other road we talk about is the road to Damascus. Some of us may have Damascus experiences. And you remember in that story, Paul is hit by a proverbial thunderbolt, knocked off his horse, and his whole world changes in that moment. Others of us may have smaller Emmaus-like moments where we're traveling along the way and our eyes are opened. And maybe we have a combination of the two. Your experiences will be the ones you have. But I believe that these encounters are available to all of us. And it doesn't need to be a one-off deal. Well, you may be wondering, where is the walking and talking and gum chewing going to come into today's message? Well, my hope is that everybody here is capable of walking and talking and chewing gum at the same time. Now, I considered going out and getting a pack of gum and putting a stick in my mouth and then actually demonstrating this to you, but I don't chew gum. But I remember when I did, and I was able to do this. It's not necessarily the most polite thing, but the coordination should be there. And walking and talking and chewing gum describes what we should be doing with Scripture. We should be able to read Scripture and to apply it and to be open to God's workings in our lives. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And yes, we may need to work at it, but it's worth doing. So I mentioned earlier that we were going to have a guest come visit us in a couple of weeks, and I hope people would be here on that Sunday morning for church to show our community. And it's great when we can all be together. And I understand some people can't come because of health concerns, and I'm great that you're able to join us online. But if you're physically able, being present in church makes a difference. Those of you who came this morning came here for a reason. And maybe you like the space, maybe you like the music, maybe for whatever reason you like the preaching, but something drew you here to be with one another. Something draws us together to be with others that we like. And sometimes we don't like one another. But we share a common belief in the power of Jesus. Think about that power, and think about that love, and think about that grace, and think about how it changes your life. So you may be up for a road trip. And if you are, you'll be heading to Emmaus. And you never know who you're going to meet along the way. But it is possible. Indeed, it is likely, if you are open, you will meet Jesus. Because Jesus wants to meet you. And yes, we're not going to have some cosmic experience where all of a sudden our eyes are opened and Jesus is physically present with us. But the Spirit of God is with us in this place, this day, and every day. And the Spirit of God will be with you when you head out to your car and you drive off to your next engagement. You may recall the old bumper sticker, "God is my co-pilot." There's some wisdom in that. I don't fly. But my understanding is that piloting an aircraft requires a lot of attention and a lot of work. And having a co-pilot is a good thing. And as we seek to navigate the ins and outs of life, knowing that we don't have to do it alone, knowing that the Spirit of God is with us, can help make a big difference. It can help us to walk and to talk and to chew gum at the same time. It can help us to fly an airplane. It can help us to get up in the morning and get up and go to school or go to work and to go out and to encounter the challenges that we face each and every day. So, you're not alone. God is with you. And you've got the gospel. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all of the gifts that it's brought us. We thank you for the blessing of old friends returned to us. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.